Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
Survivor specialist Phil and Alexa are back with our episode 7 recap for Survivor Winners at War. And wow, was that a doozy. I have been eliminated from the Eliminator game. I deserve this. I get what I deserve. I was doing so well. And I picked Yule this week. Oopsie daisy. Yule is gone, meaning that the oldest school player left in the game is Sophie. Out of all people, Sophie. Season 23, we are 9 boots into the season, and season 23 is the oldest school season we have left. This is crazy. I thought this was a really great episode. We'll talk all about it. The most important thing, though, to note for everybody out there is Michelle Fitzgerald didn't get a single vote tonight. So, dear person whose name I've already erased from my memory because you tweeted or you put on our Facebook Patreon only group, I'm doing it. I'm putting Michelle in the last spot. I forget what your name is because it disgusted me so thoroughly. But she didn't.
We don't even want your money.
Yeah. No, I still want your money. But you know, I'm just saying. No, this was a really good episode. I was bummed to see the way it ended, just mainly because Yule's such a stand-up dude. And at the end of the day, not many people want Yule to be voted out of Survivor ever. So the fact that he got voted out this way, it kind of sucks. Can't wait for the Wendell hate again. Poor guy. But Alexa, what were you thinking here?
Yeah. So Phil and I actually, for the first time since, I believe, college, Phil and I actually watched the episode pretty much together. If anyone wants to look at our Instagram story, Phil does not have a TV or service wherever he is. So
yeah, there's no internet.
Timed Phil. And then aimed him at my TV for an hour. So Phil did warn me in advance, do not make any noises because he cannot hear anything. But watching Jeff snuff Yule's torch, like I've seen him snuff Parvati's torch, but man, watching Yule get his torch snuffed is just heartbreaking. And it's that's just really tough to see. Like he's a tough like last one because it's the merge. Every single old schooler is gone. I was telling Phil, like, we were so freaking excited to see Danny Boatwright, and I don't know, I can't tell you when the last time she had a confessional was. So
yeah.
Ethan got some airtime tonight because people love Ethan and we haven't heard from him in a while. So that part just kind of sucks. But Yule, I think this is the beauty of Yule. I feel like this is the cockiest Yule we've ever seen, which if you put that in anybody else, it's like the calmest version. He was Captain Chatterbox at Tribal Council tonight. And that kind of reminds me of Janet last season, where she was like, oh, they're calling me the Fire Lady. And Yule's like, look at all this duplicity that's coming up with the fire tokens. And I think that was what did him in, which really like never would have been an issue. But when you're playing with new school people, the first name you throw out there is never the name that goes home.
Yeah, and I said this at the beginning of the season. I'm going to continue to defend it despite the fact that I was just proven entirely wrong. But I said that the old school players can adapt to the new school game. The new school players would have a harder time adapting to the old school game. And it's just, I don't think that necessarily because all the new schoolers went home here that it means that they were bad players. It means that Parvati Sanger and Boston Rob never had a chance in hell. It means Ethan got screwed because he was just aligned with them. It means that Tyson and Amber never had a chance in hell. And it means that Danny and Yule just got outplayed here, but really not in a bad, egregious way. Like, Yule did not play bad Survivor, which is why he went home. And I know that all of the old schoolers are gone, but at the same time, if you look at the new schoolers, if you look at anybody who's left in the game, with the exception of Tony Vlachos, there is not a legend among them. And I'm sorry to say that for all of the winners who are left, but right now, you would not come into season 40 and say, these are the legends. Like Michelle, Adam, Nick, Kim, Jeremy, Denise, Ben, Sophie, Wendell, and Sarah. You're not looking at them as legendary presences. Tony, you are. Granted, Jeremy has played the game fantastically twice, and you know we've seen other players play incredibly well, but they haven't hit that legendary status that Parvati, Sandra, Boston Rob hit. Tyson even pretty much hit. I mean, Tyson, because he played so many times and was across such a long period of time, I think he hit legendary status. So I think that's why a lot of these old school players went home. And then tonight, Yule went home because Yule was trying to figure out how he could figure out the fire tokens. And also because he was on a tribe of four people, and the other three people who he's on a tribe with are from season 37, season 36, and season 32. There's some sort of bond there. And then Yule starting to show just how intelligent he is, definitely not helping his cause at all to try to keep him in the game when the merge is coming up.
Yeah, I think early on, I think it became a snowball effect. I think early on, it's like, obviously, we got to get rid of Amber. And then it starts off kind of as a subconscious thing. And then I think last week with the double boot, I know that the player, or no, for them, it was double boot too. I think it's conversations we're not seeing because I think it's something that viewers aren't happy about. But I think it started off as subconsciously getting at the old schoolers, and then it became quite purposeful. And, you know, we obviously saw that tonight. But on the other side of the coin, it was Wendell who was going to go home. And as the, you know, when Wendell is my Michelle to Phil, that was a horrible phrasing, but I hope you guys are
terrible
here. The point, what Phil is to Michelle as I am to Wendell. I'm just saying, I get that, like, Phil and I were talking about this during commercial break. This is going to sound creepy, but if you go to Wendell's, like, cast profile when Ghost Island was, that cast was announced, Wendell self-awarely said, not a word, he said, my issue is trash talking. I'm a big trash talker. He did that in Ghost Island. I actually think I saw some of you on Reddit saying that that was one of your favorite voting confessionals when he was voting out Chris Noble. Cocky Wendell is not a new thing. And also, Wendell saying, I need Jeff's attention. Do you know why he said that? Because he lost immunity because he didn't have Jeff's attention in Ghost Island. So I don't want to hear from anybody when they're saying that Wendell is being super over the top. He's obviously being cocky because his own compatriots are saying that, but he is not doing anything obscene. And yeah. Michelle gives him that fire token. Michelle wants to work with him. They chose to work with Wendell over Yule, who is incredibly loyal, and they're picking Wendell over him. So that's what I have to say.
Yeah, I think, I mean, the Wendell hate is only going to ramp up. Dear Scott, my friend who texted me through this, and I can't text him back because I'm,
oh, hi, Scott. You
know, I'm watching through my phone, through Alexa's TV, and now I'm podcasting through my phone. I can't text him back, but he was like, Wendell's such a tool. And I'm like, I can't wait to text him back later and say, you said this to me last week, and I told you to go F yourself. And now I'm telling you that again, Scott. Like, and I think that this is just becoming too much of a thing. There is one of the coolest moments in Survivor is the Ghost Island fire making challenge when Wendell is putting the sticks and everything on the fire and staring over at Dom while he's doing it. It's cocky. It's arrogant. And yeah, it's freaking awesome because he won. And now we're watching what happens when that character loses. And Wendell's going to lose this season. Sorry, Wendell, you're not winning. I'm sure you know that already because you were sitting on the jury for, I think, a large portion of this post-merge phase. I do not think that Wendell's going to make it much further than he did, but it's like we love it when you win. We hate it when you lose. You look like an asshole when you lose. And it's the same thing. Like, I always like to compare it to the Cam Newton thing. When Cam Newton's cocky and winning the year when he was 15-1 and the Panthers were just unbeatable, everybody loved Cam Newton. As soon as he was mad after they lost and they're calling it like a sore loser or whatever you want to call it, everybody hated him because his cockiness was no longer okay because he lost. When you lose, everybody says you're cocky. When you win, it's swagger. We were saying Wendell had the most swagger out of any Survivor player. But now it's, oh, he's just cocky and he's an asshole or whatever anybody wants to call him. And it's just not the case. I mean, yeah, everybody's going to get mad at him, but that's because they lost the challenge by a millisecond. However, if Wendell had said, Probst, we're about to be done, and Probst comes walking over as they're putting in the last piece, and it happens to be 1 millisecond or whatever this challenge was after the Dekal tribe put their last piece in, but Jeff was looking at Sele, everybody's going to be praising Wendell for getting Jeff over to them. Because that's something, like, you have to play to Jeff sometimes in this game. So I'm totally fine with everything Wendell did. He's going to get hate because he's supposed to be the villain here. We see Nick getting mad about it. We see Yule getting mad about it. We see Michelle getting mad about it. And we're supposed to root for Michelle, Nick, and Yule because they were all heroes on their seasons. And Wendell didn't really have a hero or a villain role on his first season. But this season, he's clearly a villain. So we're supposed to hate him all of a sudden. I don't hate Wendell. I don't. But yeah, I know he's going to get plenty of hate.
One thing that we probably should have led with, I didn't realize we'd be doing it so much this season, but for those of you who don't like Wendell, you should probably not subscribe to this podcast because we're pretty pro Wendell and we're very pro Michelle. So another thing that Phil and I said right before we went live is if anyone has ever been the one who's broken up with, you always look the good guy. Like, I'm usually the one who gets dumped and I somehow come out looking pretty good, which is shocking because I'm the one who gets dumped. But just saying, that's another thing too. But Michelle is looking real good, and not just because she's the one who got dumped, but how many times have we now heard her say my win was underappreciated? I mean,
oh my god,
looking great. Does she have a single vote to her name?
I don't think so. I don't think she's no, she has. Did she receive a vote at the first tribe? No, she didn't because it was Jeremy, Adam, and Natalie, right? Who received the vote.
I'm gonna look it up, but I'm pretty sure she has not received the vote.
But Michelle coming into tonight, it was pretty obvious. She should have been the person on the outside looking in of that small four-person tribe. And what does she do? She goes to Wendell, somebody who could easily be her enemy, and says, look, I know you voted out Parvati last time. I know you said all these things. Maybe we could have worked together, but we didn't want to work with Parvati. I get that. Here's a fire token. Work with me. And then she goes to Nick, and she says, Nick, Wendell's willing to vote you out of the game. Why would you keep him around? Okay, now she's got Nick. Then she talks to Yule. She went and talked to every single person she had to talk to. Doesn't get a vote tonight. And don't tell me it's not because she's threatening. It's because she's doing the work she needs to do in order to not get votes. I mean, it's awesome what she's being able to do. And I'm going to keep on defending her like crazy. I mean, Carl gave me a hard time this week. But Carl just lost his hot streak. For anybody listening to our predictions and power rankings, he put Michelle in spot 10. Alexa put Michelle in spot 10. I put Michelle in spot 7. And Carl said that I was blinded because of this young girl's, my little obsession. Oh, you can't even see their mistake. Michelle doesn't make mistakes. She doesn't make mistakes in Survivor. She just plays Survivor the right way. And she did a great job again tonight. And I wasn't blinded, Carl. You were blinded by your just disdain for Michelle. It's so apparent, Godfather. It's so apparent.
Which is pretty impressive because Michelle and disdain being the same sentence is pretty difficult. But yeah, I mean, Michelle and Nick controlled that vote. And I was laughing because the first time we see the Sele tribe, Nick is not even on screen. Poor guy. But Nick had I know I'm working a little bit backwards here, but I really want to talk about this challenge because this challenge looks so brutal. That saucer looks so incredibly heavy. I was just waiting for someone to drop it on their toe and like get medevaced because they would have broken their foot. That thing was absolutely horrible. And good on Yara. I mean, they're slightly dysfunctional. They're not super dysfunctional, but man, they had the right strategy there. And I think even if they didn't fill it up on the first try, I still would have said that that was a good strategy because when you have I didn't realize that all those beams were different heights. And at one point you see Kim, who's like 6 feet tall, and Jeremy, they're like completely crouched over trying to hold it up. And poor little Denise is like holding it above her head. That Yara tribe is unreal in challenges. It's always the satellite tribe that does really well.
Yeah, and so for this season, it was like, or for this episode, Alexa and I were talking about this. There was definitely a reward challenge that we did not see. And
there was.
And because we didn't have Jeff do the whole, this is the first time you're getting a look at these people, and this is the first time you're getting a look at the new tribes, and they all just kind of came walking in. This wasn't for reward and immunity. It was just for immunity. So there was a reward challenge before the immunity challenge.
And Yara won, and they won pizza.
Okay, so there you go. So Yara wins the immunity challenge or the reward challenge. But what's cool about this Yara tribe is that had they not been successful in carrying this saucer, had that not worked out as well for them as they were hoping, they still would have had time, I think, to go back and get the water because they would have barely needed any water. So they would have had time to run back, just sprint through the entire thing as fast as they possibly could and dump the little bit of water they needed, because we even saw DeCall. DeCall did not need very much water on their second run. I mean, they were just starting to pour it in and it was already in there. So I like the strategy of move really slow, move really methodically, and just see what happens. And I mean, they crushed that puzzle. It was Sophie and Ben who did the puzzle. They absolutely annihilated that puzzle. That took them seconds. And that was, see, these are more fun to me. Like, these types of puzzles are more fun because it doesn't take everybody so long just to figure out the curve and all of that. You can just start putting the pieces in. And once you start putting the pieces in, everything starts falling into place. I like that more because it leads to more dramatic finishes like we saw, rather than, oh, they figured it out, so now they're going to finish faster than the other one. And more of the drama is which tribe is going to figure it out first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
So, but yeah, I mean, in terms of this Yara tribe, which we really haven't talked about much at all, clearly Adam was on the outside looking in, and for him, this was such a big win. And we'll talk all about their tribe experience and everything. But again, this goes back to kind of what happened to Tommy last season. Adam gets through this vote. How far can Adam go? Tony gets through this vote. How far can Tony go? Had Yule gotten through this vote, how far would Yule have gone? And it's these really close challenges that come down to the skin of your teeth right before the merge. How far is this going to propel Tony and Adam? And we can look back, especially for somebody like Tony, if he would have lost this challenge, Tony definitely goes home tonight. He gets 12th place on the season, but he won this challenge. So now what can happen?
Yeah, and I think the same for Adam too. And I think going into this merge, I think Adam is actually in more trouble than Tony, which is shocking considering that you just said that Tony is the last legend standing. I think Tony played such a good pre-merge and only had one real slip up, which was last week, him totally falling off the grid. If he can button that up, and also now that it's merge time, like there are a lot of fire tokens. There are way more than 20 fire tokens floating around. And I think now is the time when people are going to stop bartering with them and start actually using them. And that's where Tony's really going to come to life.
And do you think that, just speaking of the fire tokens, do you think Yule would have stayed tonight had he not overthought the fire tokens? Or do you think that was just kind of an excuse the editors gave us?
I don't know. I think it did have an effect because we see them having that kind of that conversation of it, of like, you know, them saying like, oh my gosh, Yule's really thinking ahead here. Mm-hmm. But to counterpoint myself, we had speculated that when Wendell was telling Parvati, like, hey, I'm down to flip, we had speculated that Yule and Nick were aware of that. Turns out they were not. So really bold move by Wendell and really good emotion control by Yule, because he sat there. Again, this look at the dichotomy between these two tribal councils. When he was there, when Parvati was getting voted out, he was about to get thrown under the bus and he had nothing to say. So that, I think, really kind of shook them up. I'm really shocked that Wendell just did that as is, but I think, I think being on a tribe with someone who he used to be involved with is really kind of messing with him.
I think it's messing with Wendell very much.
Definitely. I mean, Michelle keeps messing around with him, and she's like goofing around, and he's just like, oh my God, I can't.
Oh my God. After the vote off, when she started like playing with his face and trying to like pinch his cheeks, that was freaking hilarious.
Everyone has been both of those people, and like, Wendell being like, oh my God, get away from me, is so relatable. And Michelle like trying to troll him is also super relatable.
Well, and so I think it's funny with the two of them, like, how often do you even have to like be in the same room as your ex? Now you have to play a game with your ex and you have to like kind of put the feelings aside. And who knows exactly what the relationship was like and everything like that. But somebody like Wendell, I doubt he's really ever found himself in this type of position where you break up with somebody and then all of a sudden you can't get rid of them. And he can't get rid of Michelle. Like, he is stuck with Michelle 24 hours a day. Who wants that with even somebody you're not an ex with? I don't want that with anybody in my life. I want to I don't even want to be with myself 24 hours a day, let alone somebody else. So when you look at like the way that this is going down, it's really interesting because I actually think it's helped Michelle to bond with Nick. And I think that Nick and Michelle have created a really good relationship here that's going to go far in this game. And it's mainly at the expense of Wendell, because they can both kind of get on. I bet you the conversation when they got back was, man, Yule is really, really threatening. But Wendell, we might not want to work with him right now, but it's worth it to keep him around at least for a little bit. And then we could figure it out later. Like, then we'll worry about it down the line. I bet that's kind of how the conversation went. Like, they could both be pissed at Wendell together, but then clear their heads and say, okay, but it makes more sense to get rid of Yule than to get rid of Wendell. Because right now, and maybe the other tribes aren't thinking this, but right now, Wendell has a 0% chance to win Survivor. And if you know that as Michelle and as Nick, why not keep him around? Yule is somebody who could get in. Maybe he's got a good relationship with Sophie, good relationship with Sarah, who he gave his fire tokens to. He's going to, maybe he has a good relationship with somebody who comes back from Edge of Extinction. Why keep him around when you can keep around Wendell, who is kind of like a sitting duck right now?
Yeah, and I mean, Yule was the head of that alliance. So that alliance is really kind of crumbled. And now it's more like Sarah, who's kind of the web that's connecting everyone within that original Dekal alliance, if that even still exists. This group four that just went to tribal council, I do believe that they were that close. And I know they were sort of this dysfunctional family, but I think they were really tight. I think Michelle, like, having slithered into that decision maker position, I think that was all like a very mutual thing.
Another thing to point out there, obviously we're watching a TV show. They're not going to take the boring conversations of Nick saying, you know, I'm not mad at Wendell though. I mean, like, we lost the challenge. It is what it is. They're going to take the most dramatic moments and put them on TV. I don't think anybody was actually that mad at Wendell. I don't even think Yule was that mad at Wendell.
Nick blew a challenge a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. I mean, everybody blows challenges. And you could say, oh, well, if we would have had a second, if he would have been focusing, blah, 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 blah. Well, I mean, Michelle could have focused a little bit harder too and put the piece in. Like, anybody could have done that. It's just a matter of, you know, like, this is the narrative that we're being fed so hard right now, and it's, what can you do?
Yeah. So I want to go back to the beginning real quick. I think we've talked about Selle a good amount. Just because I went on Twitter and I see Russell Hance tweeting, WTF at Sandra D. Twine, you're a quitter, to which she said, I have zero regrets about leaving the Edge. I regret handing over for my idol. Just remember, I've won twice. The queen stays queen. What do we think about Sandra dipping out of the Edge of Extinction?
I'm totally fine with her doing it. I said this last week with intern. First of all, the Edge of Extinction's stupid. It's bullshit. There's no better person to quit Edge of Extinction than Sandra Diaz Twine, because now by Sandra quitting, it's like, oh, well, we want all the legends to still be able to hang around and blah, blah, blah. We still want to get our confessionals, which we'll talk about the moments we got from Edge tonight. Mm-hmm. But by Sandra saying, screw it, I don't care, it's kind of like, you know what, producers, like, you think you own us, you don't own us. It doesn't matter.
You, I can lost, leave when I want to leave. You lost the legend.
You lost the legend. Now, honestly, if you don't quit Edge of Extinction, you're a loser. Sorry, everybody, but if the queen does it, everybody else should follow suit, right? That's definitely going to be something that people are going to get mad at me for, not going to understand the sarcasm there. But seriously, if Sandra's quitting, it's not like when Wendy and Keith quit. This is the person who has won Survivor twice, who doesn't have anything to prove, and saying, this is stupid. I did my thing. I got voted out. And she's 100% right. She's never going to win a challenge. So what's
She's not even getting third place in that challenge.
No, she might not get, if there's what, now there's nine people. If Sandra had stayed, there would have been nine people. She's getting ninth place in that challenge. Like, she's not going to be in it, and she's going to go, oh, Jeff, I know I didn't have a chance. Sandra never has a chance to win the challenge, so what's the point? And she's already won $2 million in Survivor. Who cares?
I am beyond fine with Sandra quitting. Does not feel better whatsoever.
And Russell's going to troll and troll and do what Russell does. But, I mean, look, that's Russell's MO. That's what Russell wants to do. I'm sure Johnny Fairplay is ripping her apart on Survivor NSFW right now. But at the end of the day, she's got nothing left to prove, and I love me some fair play. I love me some Russell. But, like, she's got nothing to prove to them either. And they can say everything they want and complain all they want about her. She made the decision that was best for her, and she's won twice. Nobody else has done that. And at the end of the day, one other person on this season is going to win twice now. We know that for a fact. There will not be a three-time winner. There will just be a two-time winner. But whoever that two-time winner ends up being, Sandra did it her first two tries. She's got nothing to prove to anybody. At this point, she's a character you bring in that you know isn't going to win, that you just bring in because the fans love her. That's it.
Exactly. Exactly. And what is Sandra really going to partake in? A fire token challenge where she just has to run up a mountain and do a scavenger hunt?
No, absolutely not.
She's not. So I guess let's talk about that. I mean, I am glad that they're not sending as many advantages out into the game. Like, you know, Parvati going home, that kind of washed away that idle nullifier. And I guess I'm glad that they're getting the fire tokens for themselves rather than getting an advantage and then putting that into the game, because then that puts less advantages in the real game. But I don't know. What'd you think about this one? I thought the narration of it was really cool. And we saw this with Michelle and Wendell too. I really like this backwards narration or the kind of flashbacks of, you know, no one can find the other three fire tokens and Rob goes backwards and he finds them all. I really like that. Love the strip search, because again, everyone's in there like tops and boxers. So is it just like, are we gonna just like deep
except for Boston Rob, who's wearing more clothes than like anybody? You know, his shorts are pants. He's literally still like Vanilla Ice over there. Like, I don't know what's
and
going
he
on.
Also, his boxers are the same exact color as his shorts, so it looked, yeah, at one point he had his shorts on the ground and his boxers on, and it was just like red. It was very funny. But I don't know, what'd you think here?
I was okay with it, and I was okay with it this week because I know that the Edge of Extinction challenge is next week, right? The Edge of Extinction challenge, I'm like, they're dropping their buffs, they're merging. So the Edge of Extinction challenge, I'm like 99% sure will be next week. It'll be when they come in. And so like, okay, we need to kind of set the storyline of who's got fire tokens, who's got what going into this challenge. So I'm okay with it here. I agree with you. I like when they do these flashback type narratives. I almost wish that they would do it with idols sometimes, where they don't tell us that somebody found an idol. They play the idol at tribal council and you're like, what? We didn't know that was going on. And then they the next episode, they start off and be like, this is when I found it. I think that would be really fun. But yeah, I'm okay with this. I thought it was great how Boston Rob, being the portly fellow, as Tyson calls him, still was able to sneak in three of those and outsmart some people. And, you know, Boston Rob, at the end of the day, out of the old school players, I think, you know, he did play, you know, one of the stronger games in terms of, like, he had so much to overcome and he was kind of able to overcome it. So I like that he was able to find three. Tyson finding one, though, and being the prime narrator here still leads me to believe that Tyson's probably going to win his way back in next week, or at least be a focal point of one of these challenges. He'll be in this challenge and be close in it. And again, like, going back to Ethan, who, again, got a huge amount of screen time tonight at Edge of Extinction, and we complained about it the one time when they were just going to pick up logs and all of that. But I really like this scene. And I think especially in the world we're living in, and I we said this on the Power Rankings episode, now we're saying it again tonight, in the world we're living in, this type of scene, it lets you know just like this fear, this whole entire mentality of like your health and your body's health and your body failing you when you're not doing anything, like all of that, like that's a real fear that people have. And for somebody like Ethan to go out there and face the unknown, and obviously now we know that Ethan is okay and like is fine, you know, in the present, we have the ability to see that future for him, the future he couldn't see on Survivor. It's just like a really cool like parallel to the society that we're unfortunately living in right now. So I like this scene. I loved Parvati kind of like picking him up and all of that. And at the end of the day, I love Ethan's story. It was just that one episode, it was like 20 minutes of just all of this stuff that I just felt like, and again, Danny, Natalie, Amber, Ethan, I don't see any of those four winning this first challenge to get back into the game. So I did like it tonight, though. I thought tonight's Edge of Extinction was very good.
Yeah, I thought the Ethan and Parvati conversation was really good. I think that was definitely a wink to the entire country of just staying positive, staying healthy. Parvati was like, let's do some yoga, so everyone get your yoga in. But yeah, I think where there are just so many people on the Edge of Extinction, and we're also at the point where everyone who we wanted to see is on the Edge of Extinction. Mm-hmm. So that really kind of changes the dynamic. But yeah, I guess let's go to Dakal, because that one had a lot less going on than the Yara tribe. Dakal was pretty much show to me. I'm seeing this as, so there are a couple people going into this merge without any friends. And I actually think out of those people, Kim is looking the best. Kim is real good coming into this merge. She had a really great confessional saying that she did not kill this merge. She did not do great in the first half of the game. And knowing to just kind of shut up and let everybody else fight, I think that has put her in a really good position, because I think she and Denise are down with each other. Jeremy, all of his content was kind of centered around Tony. But
not really wanting to work with Tony necessarily.
Yeah, so it wasn't saying like, I'm definitely with these people, it's more because I'm not with Tony. But I mean, her and Denise, I thought Denise did so, this like to me shows why Denise is such a good player, that she has this absolute bomb ass move last week. And Jeremy's like, I don't know, still not buying the Denise hype. So amazing.
So amazing. And that is, I mean, that's going to be the message of this season. And one thing I want to say too is, because of, like you were just saying, Kim moving forward, what does she look like? I think Kim's looking great. We have seen how this pre-merge has gone. And I'm assuming the merge, we know the merge is next week. I'm assuming Edge of Extinction comes back in, but whatever. This pre-merge has been a very good pre-merge. Not phenomenal, but very, very good. I mean, everything has been, you know, this is like a top 10, 15 pre-merge in Survivor history, in my opinion. I think it's been really awesome. I think we've gotten some really good storylines. You know, with some of the stuff from Edge, I'm not a huge fan of, whatever. But what, like, you know, I always look at Heroes versus Villains is the ultimate pre-merge. That's the pre-merge that every other pre-merge should strive to be. This is not that. But the way that this post-merge is set up right now, this could be one of the best post-merges of all time. And it's because of what you were just saying. Look at Denise. Denise makes one of the best moves in Survivor history last week, single-handedly votes out the queen, and nobody still thinks she's a threat. You have Michelle, who works her way from being should be the odd one out on a four-person tribe, doesn't get a vote, convinces her ex-boyfriend to vote out somebody else. So now you have somebody else who's being underestimated. You have Kim, who has worked her way into a position where she's being underestimated because she just looked like such a fool at the beginning of the game. You have Adam Klein, who nobody wants to work with on his own tribe, and they're pretty much looking at him like he's an idiot. But now all of a sudden the merge is coming. There's no lines drawn in the sand. There's no heroes versus villains. There's no, you know, one tribe versus other tribe. You have 11 random people who some are being overestimated, some are being underestimated, some are being evaluated right at the perfect spot. But I think it's just going to make for incredible, incredible TV. And I don't remember if that was your question at all, but I know you were talking about Kim and what was going on that tribe. I just think that tribe shows so much of this dynamic of what this post-merge is going to be like. You have Tony, who really didn't do anything in the pre-merge, but is still going to be one of the biggest threats post-merge. You have Denise, who did everything in the pre-merge, but nobody's going to be looking at post-merge. You have Kim, who is a huge threat coming in and is no longer a huge threat. And you have Jeremy, who is exactly where he was at the beginning of the game, which is threatening, but not the biggest threat, not the smallest threat, kind of in with everybody. It's insane how that tribe kind of, it describes this entire season going into the merge.
Yeah, and you just described how Jeremy won. So that's what's so amazing about him, especially because he's the one who coined a little meat shield strategy, and look at him now. It's incredible. But I think where I was going, we always talk about this at the merge, that the people who don't have a best friend, the people who don't have someone who's going to raise their hand in the circle and say, I can't have Phil voted out, or I can't have Alexa voted out. Kim is the only one out of those people who I think is safe. And that's not because she is an idol, but I think she really has wormed her way in with Denise and Jeremy. And I also think that original group, because the head of that anti-poker alliance is gone, and because this poker alliance is essentially gone, Kim, instead of being like the final poker person we need to get rid of, Kim is actually, I think she's going to be seen as a number and as an asset. And I think if she can climb her way back into the top of an alliance, I think she's going to kick some serious butt. So I think that's looking real good for Kim, but then more for the people like Adam and Wendell, I'm a lot more nervous for them.
Yeah, I agree. And now let's talk about Yara. And then I think we should kind of break down how we're feeling about each of these players going in. And this won't be like the Power Rankings episode, because obviously that'll be a different thing, but how we're feeling about where each of these players stands, because I think this is a really cool talking point. And when you look at Yara, me and Alexa kind of had an argument pre-podcast about how we felt about how Adam was being portrayed here. And it wasn't like, obviously, me and Alexa don't start getting into screaming matches.
We screamed.
Normally.
Because the volume was so loud.
Yeah, exactly. I couldn't hear her because my phone is trying to record five different screens at one time. Somebody said, Phil, stop with the big finger. I'm just trying to scroll, man.
Yeah, I see. I'm seeing your, like, your knuckle.
I can't help it. I mean, I got to see what's going on my phone sometimes. But this Yara tribe, I feel like Adam was wrong but wasn't wrong. And I feel like that's been Adam all season long. Like, yeah. Adam has not been correct, but he hasn't been as wrong as a lot of people are thinking Adam has been. And in this episode, he thought it was Sarah, and he thought it was Ben who had the idol. He thought Sarah had the idol. He thought Sarah and Ben were working together and lying to him. He called them out on that. He just happened to call them out to somebody who was also with them on the lie. So while he's saying, I feel like they're lying to me, I've never been more confident, he's not really wrong. He's just wrong that Sophie is also in that group, and he doesn't realize that.
Right. But that's completely correct. But this is something that you taught me. So I'm going to throw this back at you, that when somebody is wrong in a confessional, that's not a good sign.
No.
And Adam did. I forget what the direct quote was, but he was like, I'm going to feel like such an idiot if I'm wrong. And I was like, oh, God. Oh, Adam, this is so tough. But yeah, they were. Someone was lying to him. He just didn't realize that the entire tribe's lying to him. So yeah. I'm real nervous for him. So now I'm a little lost. Does Ben know that Sophie has it? Because I don't think he does.
I think he does. I think
you
Ben,
think
Sophie,
so?
And
okay.
Sarah know everything. And I think the three of them are working so closely together. Because here's my prediction on what happened last two weeks ago, back when they voted out Boston Rob. Because Boston Rob goes home without anybody talking to each other after the tribal. I think Ben, Sarah, and Sophie got together. And they said, let's make this work before anything even happened. And maybe to build trust and bring Ben to their side, it might have been, here's what we got. Now, do you want to work with us or do you not want to work with us? This is what we have. And I think Ben is somebody, even though he's kind of a blabbermouth sometimes, I think that he's somebody you can kind of trust with that, because if he's really that anti-Rob and that anti-Adam, he's definitely not going to tell either of them. And by the time you get to emerge, you're going to have proven your loyalty to him so much. Who's he going to go and run to and tell about it? Like in the early portion of the game, he was trying to get his footing. So he was a lot more, oh, I'm going to say this to this person or this to that person. Now he's not really doing that as much. So it's not as big of a deal for him. And I think that that might have been what happened. I think they might have told him. But for him to be able to sit there and just be like, oh, look, we're looking for the other. I really do believe that Ben knew. And even if the edit doesn't tell us that he knew, I think Ben knows that Sarah or that Sophie or Sarah, at least one of them has an idol, whether he knows which one actually is holding it. But yeah. I think he knows, and that's why he was. I think they all were playing it up to Adam, like, oh, we're looking for it. And Adam caught on to that. Adam's not an idiot. Adam's
yeah, I think Adam,
sort of that way.
I think Adam.
I'm also turning on a light.
You're turning on a light?
Yeah, I was disappearing.
No, I think where the confessional where Adam was like, I know that they were faking the hunt. That, I mean, he's so on the nose. Like, you can totally tell when people are just like, pushing a stick around. And actually, fantastic transition. Rick Devins gets a reference tonight. Rick Devins found his idol in a tree. And guess who's coming on to do our merge predictions with us? The first person to ever return from Edge of Extinction himself, Mr. Rick Devins. We wanted to time this up pretty well with the merge. And Survivor tried to mess with us because they did it one episode later. But we're very excited to have Rick on this this Sunday. But I thought that was funny where Ben was like, Rick found this here. Like, someone found this here. And they're clearly, you know, BS.
I think they're totally messing with him. But then at the same time, I think that because of how much of a fan Adam is, I bet you he watched that challenge from David versus Goliath and said, hey, what if they do this challenge where we're all standing around holding the dish? I wouldn't be surprised if it was, hey, this is what worked for one tribe and didn't work for the other. We got to be able to get this all over there. You know, I mean, it was the worst challenge performance in Survivor history the last time that challenge was ran. But don't be surprised if Adam said, we can take this slow and we can win this thing.
That was great.
But yeah, I think Adam – okay, so Adam's let's kind of break this down. So we got 11 people left. We got 9 people over on Edge. We're going to talk all about the people coming from Edge when we have Devins and everything on Sunday. So we know that that's going to be coming because we're going to have to talk about who's coming back into the game. But out of the 11 people who are still in the game who are guaranteed to make the merge, Adam is in this weird position where the merge helps him, but not really. Like, if the longer that this went on as a pre-merge phase, Adam has a 0% chance of surviving. He can't get through the game. Like, he just can't do it. There's nowhere for him to hide. There's nowhere for him to go. There's no idols left for him to find. He needed this merge to happen. But now the merge happens, and he could easily be that person where everybody just says, let's vote him out. Because Michelle's been screwed over by Adam. Jeremy's been screwed over by Adam. Denise has kind of been screwed over by Adam. Ben is ready to vote out Adam. Sophie's ready to vote out Adam. Sarah's ready to vote. That's already six people who are ready to vote out Adam. Like, and so while it's good for him because he's finally into a stage where he can start to play and maybe he can make things work, there's so many people who are against him because of how he played in the pre-merge that it almost doesn't really help him. Like, he needs one or two votes before this is going to help him. What do you think about that?
I think, yeah, when you put it like that, Adam's in deep trouble. Mm-hmm. He just has to find someone who will defend him. And there's no one on Old Cele who will defend him. I think it would have to get to the point where, I mean, Denise doesn't really feel desperate anymore. Jeremy, I think, isn't going to view Adam as the kind of shield. I think the one person who would reach out to Adam or would be willing to work with Adam is Michelle. Because we're seeing Michelle with a very... Michelle plays a very forgiving game. And I think that really works. I mean, if she got on that island and was like, I'm not playing with you because we used to date and you broke my heart, she would have been home by now.
And she did not used to date Adam, so we're good.
And she and Adam, to my knowledge, have never dated. So that's, you just...
However...
My Siri with that for some reason.
I know, I'm sorry. But in the preview for next week, Michelle's the one who says, well, let's just do Adam.
I missed that because to me, like, the merge... that merge
is nonsense.
But
yeah, so that's why I don't think that Michelle will necessarily work with him. So like, when, you know, we used to do like a 5-5-5 thing. We got down to 15. We could do like a 4-4-4 thing. But like, the way I look at it is like, we'd always break it down like contenders, people who still have sort of a chance, and then your people who just have no chance. And right now, to me, Adam is somebody who would fall into that middle category, but I don't feel like the merge helps him all that much because it doesn't change. He's still going to be at the bottom. But if he can survive the first challenge, maybe find an idol, all of a sudden he can kind of get himself into a Kelly Wentworth in second chances type position where you can't get rid of him. You know, you keep trying and he keeps on being able to work his way around. All of a sudden there's a bigger threat. Let's get rid of them. Let's kind of blindside one of our own. All of a sudden he plays an idol and now you're saying, shit, he's at final five. He's at final six. I don't know. So it doesn't really improve his chances, but I think he's going into the merge with the most confessionals on this season. Who would have thought?
That's what's so intriguing about Adam. He's the narrator, but the narrator's usually somewhat in control. Adam has had no control for a very long time.
Zero.
But it's because he gives a passionate confessional, and some people really like them and some people really don't. But either way, it makes you feel something, and that's what makes a really good narrator.
Yeah, absolutely. And then the other people you were talking about, who are your people who are lost and really have no way? I think that Kim, like you said, merge here, I think she was found her way into a good spot anyway, but I think now that the merge is hitting, nobody on her original tribe is like, damn, Kim's so good at this game, let's vote her out. I think the legend of Kim has been almost disproven to a lot of the players. Not that she's not a great player, I just think a lot of the people coming in probably looked at Kim as one of the most threatening players out there, and that is no longer the case at all. Plus she has an idol. That's huge for her. I mean, that's gigantic. She can go any way she wants. She could work with other people who have idols. I mean, Sophie has an idol. Maybe her and Sophie get together. Sophie's in a weird spot now because Yule is gone. Her number one is gone. And now Sarah is definitely her number one, but her and Sarah can't do this alone. I see Sarah trying to pull Tony in because Cops Are Us, getting back together. Maybe Sophie tries to pull Kim in because, remember, Kim went to Sophie pre-merge and said, here's my idol. I need to give it to you. Sophie gives her the half back. Sophie and Kim both have idols now, and they did have a little bit of a, you know, work together, even though Sophie didn't seem like she wanted to do it.
Good point.
Now she might not have a choice. That could be a four-person alliance moving forward.
Yeah, I actually completely forgot about that Sophie and Kim thing. I think Sophie and Sarah have kind of become the nucleus here because Sarah's got Tony. There's Cops Are Us. Cops Are Us makes it to the merge, everybody. Let's see if it survives the merge boot, unlike last time. You know, Sophie kind of lost her original number one here. So I think you've Sophie and Sarah. I think they can bring Kim in, because as much as Sophie wanted to screw Kim over, she ended up not. Mm-hmm. And I think Ben is right up there with them. I really think that these split tribes, are really going to kind of stick together here.
So what do you think then is going to happen to the group of three, the smallest tribe, the Nick, Michelle, Wendell? Do you think that people are going to be fighting over them, kind of like what happened in the original Brains, Brawn, Beauty, where everybody's kind of fighting over the brains? Do you think that's going to happen here?
I think they're going to be fighting over Nick and Michelle, because I think Nick and Michelle are immediately going to drop Wendell.
Yeah, I think that might happen. Oh, I don't think immediately, but I think the second that somebody says, we would vote out Wendell, would you be down to do that? I think they both say, sure, we're willing.
You also probably
need our numbers, right? Like, I think that's how it's going to go down.
Yeah, I think you're right. I don't think, you know, they're not going to go out of their way to throw him under the bus. But so what to me, Wendell and Adam are the two who are I'm real nervous for. But Kim, I think Kim's going in looking real good. I think Sophie's going in looking real good. I think Sarah looks great too. I'm really enjoying Sarah here. And Ben, Mr. Bumbling Idiot, look at him now. He is in with those two.
I really do. I think that Ben's in a good spot. I mean, when you look at this, and not to get into not to get into the power rankings aspect of it, but that tribe of Ben, Sarah, Sophie, they're that group of three. I think that group of three has so much legs for the rest of the season. Like, I think that they could go so far because they're a group of three, too, that's always been loyal. You know, Ben never really had people to be loyal to, but he was loyal to the people who he could be loyal to. Sophie was very loyal. Sarah wanted to be loyal. Nobody believed that she was loyal. Why? If you're Michelle and Nick, I probably run over to those three and say, I want to work with you. Sarah brings in Tony. Sophie brings in Kim. There's your final seven. I mean, that's an easy final seven because it doesn't even matter who comes back from Edge of Extinction at that point. It doesn't even matter about idols because you have all the idols. You have all the advantages, essentially. So I think that that could be a really cool alliance. And, you know, if I'm playing this game as somebody who's a little more under the radar, like a Denise, like a Michelle, I want to work with people who have proven loyalty. I don't want to work with crazies. I don't want to work with Tonys. I don't want to work with Adam. I want to work with people who have proven loyalty. And I think the people who have proven loyalty sit right there on that tribe that was with Adam, but just in the three of Sophie, Sarah, and Ben. I think that's your most loyal group that's left in the game.
I think so. This is going to be a really, really interesting merge.
It's going to be a really interesting merge. And then, what do you think? Are they going to give the person who returns from Edge of Extinction, do you think they're going to give them the half idol, Devin's idol thing again?
I don't know if it's going to be that, but they're going to give them some form of idol. And no one's going to be happy about it.
And I don't think they're going to give them a full idol because I think they saw the backlash from 38. I think it's still going to be this half idol or some sort of idol like that where you have to give a piece to somebody, you have to give something to somebody else, something like that. Do you think, let's say it is the Devin's idol, do you think there's anybody on Edge of Extinction right now who could come into the game, actually give half to somebody and get the half back? Or do you think that would just never happen?
I think Natalie could do that with Jeremy. To me, because like there's a lot of Celes there, or there's a lot, it's all the old schoolers. And like Rob did not do a great job of managing any relationships with the new schoolers. So, I mean, if Rob comes in and he gives it to Michelle, I can't imagine Michelle screwing him over. But then again, would anybody have ever imagined Denise doing what she did? No. So,
yeah.
Really, just like Natalie and maybe Yule.
I think Parv could do it with Michelle.
Yep.
I think that could work.
True. Yep.
I think Yule could probably do it with Sophie. So that's one that I think could happen because him and Sophie never had to betray each other and they did have a really good relationship. So I could see something like that working. But I think what the problem's going to be for everybody else with Rob, with Ethan, with Danny, what the problem is going to be for them that they're not going to realize, their best bet to get half of the idol back and work with somebody is going to be Adam, but none of them are going to want to work with Adam. So if any of them come back into the game, I think Adam would be like, sure, I need a new lease on life. We just kind of broke down. This doesn't really improve his chances all that much. He needs a new lease on life. Somebody comes to him and says, I'll give you this half, give it back to me. We'll work together. We'll be able to use the idol. It's both of ours. He would do that 100%. But I don't think any of them are going to want to do that with Adam because they don't trust him as far as they can throw him.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to do that with him. So, yeah, you bring up a good point, Parvati and Michelle. I think that could be one, but I don't know. Do you think they'll do something different? I think they might change it up. I just don't know what it is.
I don't know what they would change it up to. It seems like they want to be changing things up, but this is a tough situation. You can't give a full idol. You can't start doing like quarter idols or something. Although quarter idols could be kind of fun where it's like, hey, or a third of an idol, kind of like the I guess we haven't seen that, but I just keep thinking of the Ty Jason Scott thing. But maybe it's like a third of an idol where you have to give it to two people and they have to give it back to you. You should have to work for this idol. Like, I get you just survived and you came back in, but if Yule comes back in, Yule was there for a night, and then he comes back in the game. Like, I don't respect that all that much. He shouldn't get a full idol for that. You know what I mean? Like, or a half idol. Make it so you have to give it to two people. Really think about it. Are these people going to give it back? Can you build a relationship with two other people when you were already voted out of the game? I don't know. I think that could be interesting.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, who do you got for MVP this week? I think there's a lot of conversation to be had here. Who do you like?
I think Nick and Michelle are the two easy options for MVP, because those two, no matter what, were not going to go home. It was always going to be between Yule and Wendell. I definitely think them. I mean, you could give it to Sophie, because Sophie is the one who actually has the idol, yet the conversation never went around her. And she was the one who actually said, can we stop with this idol talk because it's tearing us apart? Also crushed it in the challenge. I think any of those three, there's a pretty good argument there.
Yeah, I feel like we always end up giving MVP to Losing Tribe, which this is obviously the
last. Which we probably shouldn't do.
Well, this is the last time that we're going to be able to do that, because then it's going to be the merge, and then it won't matter, and then it'll actually be based on the players' moves. But I think Sophie, I mean, I love Michelle, I love Nick. I think both of them were great tonight. But at the end of the day, they just decided to go with Wendell instead of going with Yule. Michelle had to at least work her way out from being the odd person out. Nick didn't have to do that, so I'd probably give the edge to Michelle. If you really think about who played the best game, Sophie was able to not give up where her idol was, keep Adam on the outside looking in, make Adam feel comfortable enough that she would work with him, when in reality that's never going to happen, and won the immunity challenge for her tribe.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really what it should come down to. Now, I don't know whose tribe Sophie's on. I don't think I have Sophie. I think that might be Vaughn, right?
Probably. I am not sure where Sophie is. We'll have to check. But yeah, you're right. Yeah. We always give it to the person on the losing tribe because they're usually the one who actually did something. But I think Sophie is actually probably more of the clear MVP.
Yeah, I think she's probably the clear MVP. But, you know, if you want to give it to Michelle, I'll take it. I spent $210 on Michelle in the auction draft.
Got to get your money's worth.
Right now, it's looking good. I mean, going back to Alexa, you said this earlier, and I didn't really comment too much on it. But they keep – I mean, this is the 19th time we've heard Michelle say, you know, I want to make sure that people value my win. She's becoming the Kellen Bechtold of Navidi Strong. It's unreal. Like, it's crazy how many times we've heard this. But – why have we heard it so many times? And she literally said, I've proven that I should win this season and my last season. She hasn't won this season yet. But, like, she's already making that statement, and we've heard it so many times. It's like either she's getting screwed at the end or she's going to win. It's going to be one of those two. Like, I'm so confident, and I was so confident before the season even began. I didn't even care. Michelle was going to win anyway. But I'm so confident she's going to be sitting there at the end. Because every confessional we've gotten has involved what happened to her in her first season and the end. And, like, it sure seems like they're setting it up for that to be her storyline. Like, it would be shocking if Michelle went before that right now. Haha.
I mean, if it's at the point where Boston Rob told her, like, hey, you have nothing to worry about, like, that definitely means that this is going to be a huge storyline.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And I don't know. I mean, now that Michelle or now that Sandra is gone, Sandra went out there, told everybody what Denise did. Everybody was definitely impressed, but Sandra is gone. Parvati is the most recent person to get there. Parvati's probably talking up Michelle more than anybody else. So Denise got her moment to shine, but now Sandra's gone. The person who could really hype up Denise is gone. I mean, it says something. You know, Michelle is probably getting a lot of talk because Parvati really liked Michelle. And out of everybody else who's already over there, it's probably Sophie and Michelle who are getting the most talk. Yule is probably going back saying, man, Michelle was able to work with Wendell, and Parvati's probably going, oh my God, I can't believe Michelle worked with Wendell. And then Yule's probably talking about how much he likes Sophie and hopes that whoever goes back is willing to work with Sophie because she's great.
Yeah.
I think those are your two people who are getting a lot of the talk, not really anybody else out there.
Yeah, 100%. So yeah. Michelle makes the merge. We are at the merge, guys. This is pretty exciting.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to go watch the episode again, not have to watch it through a cell phone onto Alexa's TV, which, by the way, nice TV, Alexa's family. Good job.
Thank you. Yes, I've escaped New York City. I am not, knock on a lot of wood, I am not sick anymore, which is a very good feeling. But yeah, it feels great to be not in New York. I'm sure it feels great not to be in LA. But yeah, anything else? Or you want me to take this one home?
No, I think I guess the only thing is we did do our Patreon first round of the bracket. So anybody who's a patron We did our first round of our alliances bracket. We broke it into 32 different alliances. We had a duos region, a trios region, a quad region, and a five plus region. We did the first round yesterday. We posted it last night or this morning. I literally have no internet. I couldn't post on Patreon. So Alexa did that, I think, this morning. So you should have that. But we're going to be doing the Sweet 16, Elite 8, Final Four, and Championship round coming up sometime this week. So if you want to be a patron, we're going to be posting the updated bracket onto our Twitter. It's really fun. I mean, it's just something to kind of take your mind off all the craziness. And also, like, who doesn't want to talk about Survivor alliances? It's a really fun thing to talk about. So yeah, if you want to be a patron, that's for our $10 and $20 patrons.
Absolutely. And for our $5 and up patrons, we'll be doing our Q&A podcast probably tomorrow night. The good thing with having no plans is that Phil and I have a lot more time to podcast now. As mentioned earlier, we're going to be joined by Rick Devins for our Merge and Edge of Extinction Returning Predictions Power Rankings. At some point this weekend, we haven't worked out a time yet, but we'll obviously post as soon as we do. In the meantime, make sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Buy some merch. Phil, please look into why we have not gotten money.
I asked intern to do it.
Intern, you had one job. So intern, please look into that for us. And yeah, become a patron. Go to patreon.com/thearvspecialist. We have $1, $5, $10, and $20 patron tiers. I will post the prop bet standings this weekend. It looks like Boston Rob said the episode title. Yul went home with less than 5 votes. Yul went home with only 3 votes.
However, he could still come back in the game and get more votes.
Oh, that is true. I know. There's like kind of no points doing props.
Sandra is the only person who you can officially say what she did and didn't do on the season. Yeah. Which Sandra D.S. Twine, everybody, did not make the jury.
Never been on the jury.
So anybody who put her as making the jury, you're incorrect. She has
you
never
are
made
wrong.
The jury.
That is a fantastic point. I love that.
Crazy.
And yeah, so we'll be back this weekend. Everyone stay safe, stay inside, wash your hands, and stay positive. And we will see y'all when we see you. Bye.